Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hazen from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts, Sunday 9 to 10, WBT 99.3, 1110 AM.
Man, I caught a little bit of that show on the way to church last week. I don't always get to do that. Lisa Sherry.
With Lisa, yeah.
Lisa Sherry Interior.
Oh, yeah, she did great.
You did great. That's where I was going with that.
I thought she was awesome.
I thought she was, too.
A true boss lady I put on my LinkedIn profile.
I saw that. We actually have in a couple hours, we're recording this during the week. I think we have kind of like a snack and learn with some of our PMs and her team, and hopefully grow the business together.
I know. I wish I could come. I will be missing that. I have a prior meeting I have to go to. But I hate that I'm going to miss it because I think it's going to be a really cool
I want to tell everybody, you listen to it on podcast. This doesn't apply to you, but if you listen to it live, this show is airing on Easter Sunday, 2024.
Right.
We hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy your family today. Be great.
Hope
you're wearing some pastel and got an egg in your pocket.
Get a little Easter brunch in.
Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and it was actually Knox's fourth birthday, my youngest tyke.
Man, that's wild.
Got hair like a horse. but the kids all hunted Easter eggs and stuff. The guys played a little hoops. We had a good time at the house for his birthday. So, yeah, man, good times, you know.
That's good. So you guys had a big, like, a slew of kids over there? How many folks came
probably
over?
Probably 25. All the neighborhood kids and then the Byram kids and a couple others like that. And then all the neighbors come out. And
ends up being a big
shindig.
The
men,
huh?
We're old men. Well, I'm in my mid-40s. We got 30-year-olds in the neighborhood, like low 30s. That's such a big variance when you're running down a full-court basketball court.
Well, you got some folks. Are you the oldest one that's playing basketball, or do you have some older?
I'm second oldest. Scott lives across the street.
I know Scott.
48. I'm about to turn 46.
He likes the Cavaliers.
He's got a couple years on. I mean, the Cavaliers.
Isn't he Ohio State? Am I thinking the wrong guy?
He's Ohio State. They're not the Cavaliers. They're the Buckeyes.
Cleveland Cavaliers. I thought.
Yeah,
he
likes LeBron.
Yeah, all that stuff.
He loves anything Ohio. But yeah, he's a good ball player. So we picked on age. So I was second oldest. That's how I know. No, that's how we were playing horse.
Okay.
No, we play mule. When you were growing up, did you play mule, did you play horse, or did you play cat?
We play pig sometimes.
Played pig.
When you wanted a short game, you want to get out off the court, you played the short one. Yeah.
And it was a little chilly Sunday, but Bo Byram went and got his bow dewinterized and wrote it down. We walked in today. TJ said, well, you were late. You didn't hear this. TJ said, how you like this up and down weather? I said, man, saw a law of averages, just humming along with the average of 65.
Yes. Trent, was partaking in my continuing education for my North Carolina electrical license. Interesting stuff. The guy did a great job. It was pretty.
Did you learn anything?
Whatever I learned, I already forgot.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, you were doing that. We had a new hire breakfast this morning for the Roby family.
Yep.
Met about 12 new faces today.
That's good. Yep.
It was great. Had some biscuits and jelly. That's good. We call them belly bombs where I'm from.
You are a very picky breakfast eater at meetings. You've got a reputation for that. I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Because of one time I was joking. It was a joke.
Well, you have a reputation now. No bagels and cream cheese.
How come nobody has a problem when I punk on myself? But when the punk is not on me,
when it's external punking,
people keep wanting to talk about it for years.
If you punk on me all the time, no one ever gives me any. I get no sympathy.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just think when you're having a construction breakfast, you eat greasy bacon and stuff.
Oh,
I mean, that's just what I think. I don't know if I'm right.
Yeah, we need to get Maria to bring us some eggs and bacon.
But today we had some quiche with jalapenos in it. I mean, that was pretty good.
That's some upper crust,
jelly and biscuits and syrup.
Some Belgian waffles I saw.
Some waffles.
On the table. Yeah,
I didn't eat a waffle, but been known to eat a waffle. You working out in the mornings?
Yes, I
put you on the spot.
I'm on the garage workout. Okay, plan. Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff out there. I get a little
good.
You're not
going to the center, huh?
Sometimes I do.
Well, you know my daughter Tatum. I'm brag on her. She's 16,
yep.
And she got on this kick January 1, and I think almost every day. I think she got sick for a couple of days, but I asked her the other day. But 100 push-ups a day. For a 16-year-old girl, that's pretty good, and it's all her doing.
Can you do 100 push-ups?
She ain't doing them in a row. No, I can do 100 push-ups in a day, but I don't do them in a row. No.
Man, I told you one time we had a push-up contest at the office with some young whippersnappers, Sean Hogan, if you're listening out there, great guy, and Andrew Cavallari, and I beat him, and I don't think I could move my arms for like a week. I wasn't going to lose that competition. It hurt, man.
Well, you know, when I was on my teenage push-up kick, my dad, the old Marine, sitting there drinking a sweet tea watching TV, I'd do, you know, try to do a set of 30 and then do a couple of those, and I'm all tired. And he said, son, you got it all wrong. Old Bull just does 10 right, and you're good. And now I want to become an old Bull.
You just want to watch. I hear you.
No. So, happy Easter again. I'm going to reiterate that. We have Jason McNeil hailing from Mississippi. I think they're an hour behind what we're at now. Runs a company, president and CEO of a company called Canton Concrete. They in the concrete business. So, something we don't really talk about on the show. It's going to be good. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last segment, go back. You can check us out on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, or anywhere you can find a podcast. It's called At Home with Roby, Trent.
That's what it is.
That's what we are.
We are at home. No, we're
home.
In a studio.
That would be at WBT with Roby. This is confusing.
That might be the first funny thing you said in a year.
Man, I've practiced that. I was really thought that was pretty good there.
Jason, what's up?
How are y'all? It's good to be on, and always good to talk to Trent, my friend.
Hey, Jason, put your mouth about an inch from the microphone and don't turn your head sideways back and forth, and that's how the studio works.
All right, how's that?
That's what we tell people when they're in the studio.
Dang, that's what you're going to start out with.
I was trying to match your joke, but
it was good.
Jason's calling in from Mississippi. Are you in Canton, Mississippi right now?
Actually, today I'm in Pearl at one of my plants in Pearl.
Okay, in Pearl, Mississippi. I hear you. Well, what's the weather down there? That's what all the farmers say. What's the weather down there?
You know, we're certainly in the spring season where it rains and then it's cold and it's hot and you don't know what to wear.
Day to day, you
have to check the weather every morning.
Well, that's what they say about North Carolina weather. If you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes.
Wow. You're on a roll.
Zingers. Jason, I'm internet stalking you. You are a Mississippi State Bulldog.
That's correct.
Awesome. One of my really close friend of my brother's, but I've become friends with him as well, is your head women's basketball coach, Sam Purcell.
Are they still playing in the tournament?
They're not in the NIT. There's a couple different like side tournaments off the NCAA, and they're playing one of those.
Okay.
So I don't know about the men. I don't think the men
didn't
made...
do as well as I was hoping.
Yeah.
Mm. Is y'all's rival, main rival, Ole Mississippi?
That's correct.
Okay.
School up north, as we call them.
They dropped the Ippy up there. It's just Ole Miss.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be
funny.
Yeah. Do you get my joke?
Yeah, got it now. All right.
Well, cool. Well, Jason and I have known each other for 3 or 4 years, and
that's cool.
It's kind of funny how we met. Jason's a fellow YPOer, runs Canton Concrete. We'll talk about that. But we were on, during COVID, we were on a Big Three trip in Aruba.
All right, yeah.
Turks and Turks.
Oh, excuse me, and Turks. Yes, thank you. That was a setup. You are paying attention. Thank you. Very nice place. But it was the first trip after COVID. Was it January of 21, Jason, or February of 21?
I believe that's correct.
So it was real pins and needles traveling. I think it was our first time traveling on a plane or anything like that since COVID. And when you had to take a COVID test to leave the island.
I remember those days. Yeah.
So the day before we left, I went to the little medical office in the hotel, in the resort. And, I was sitting in the waiting room, and Jason was sitting in the waiting room, and then he went in and got his brain poked. I mean, man, that was very painful, I will say, and maybe I'm just a wimp.
So did you pass?
They wanted to make sure it was a thorough test, and if you remember, we had one lady of the group had to quarantine for a week in the hotel room.
So she
didn't pass.
She did not. I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody not passing. So she just was stuck in a room for a week.
Yep.
Yes. Quarantined in the room for a week and couldn't get back into the U.S. And Turks was very cautious of COVID. We met with the governor while we were on the trip, and they did not want hardly any contact with anybody on the island with her. So it was a tough week of quarantine in a room, although she could see the beach.
Well, we had she was in a really nice room on the top floor.
Yeah,
and I think we had a party on the beach and in the water the last day, full day we were there, and she was quarantined in the room there, and you could see her. It was like, oh, don't look at her. It was terrible.
Oh, man.
And everybody said, well, if there was a better place to be quarantined, I can't imagine. They were putting food at her door. I mean, what do you do? You do a lot of – we were talking about push-ups earlier. You do a lot of push-ups, I guess.
It'd be like going to a really nice jail. I mean, that's really what it is. You can't leave.
I mean, I'm not into going to jail, period. I don't care how luxury it is.
Yeah,
but,
that's rough.
So anyway, we were sitting there, and, you know, you meet somebody a little, you know, uncomfortable, whatever, got anxiety over. We start talking, and – from Mississippi, which I love all of our Mississippi brethren. And Jason said he was in the concrete business. I said, oh, man, you in the construction business. So, Jason, tell us about your business.
Certainly. So our business has been around since 1953. And I graduated Mississippi State, as Patrick alluded to, and majored in construction management and came down to Jackson in 2003 and worked for Mississippi's largest general contractor, Yates Construction, and always pretty much in the heavy side, and just always knew I wanted to do my own thing. And Yates was just a phenomenally good training ground where I learned a lot of the business practices and everything, but just knew I wanted to do my own thing and really started just pinging some different owners who didn't have succession plans, and all primarily in the heavy space. And Canton worked out about 6 years ago, and it's been a good fit. The owner retired, and I was able to acquire it. And we are we've gone from three plants to five, and we got a great team, great culture. And as you know, it's all about employees and just that DNA that we have. And I can't take credit for creating the DNA, but it's literally the best culture that I've ever anywhere I've ever worked.
Wow, so three plants to five, been in business since 1953. That's pretty close to us. We're 1950s, very similar. How many employees roughly do y'all have?
Yeah, right now we're about 65 to 67, just kind of depending on where we are. So we're certainly on some of the smaller side compared to our competitors, but we have our niche and we know right where we are.
Well, talk about that. What is your niche? I mean, what type of stuff are you guys chasing?
Yeah. In Mississippi, primarily, unless there's some large economic development projects, generally there's it's over 50% residential in our market, and certainly we're more than 50%. But we do some light commercial, but residential, I would say, is our primary focus. And we know kind of who our clients are and our lane, and certainly we saw some pullback after COVID when interest rates went up due to the residential just slow down across the board, but we're pretty optimistic on that volume picking back up later this summer and especially into 2025.
So are you working with primarily like tract building, those kind of things, residential developers, that sort of deal?
Yeah, tract building is just now starting to come into Mississippi. Typically, it's been smaller.
Got it.
Smaller people, but we are just now starting to see the tract building boom here in Mississippi.
Wow.
But it's been a little more fragmented traditionally here.
So how spread out are your plants?
You know, we have four in the Jackson metro area, all about 30 miles apart, Lexington being in the north, and Canton, and Pearl, then Mendenhall, and they all are about 30 miles between each other, so every plant can kind of back up another plant. And then 2 years ago, we opened a plant in North Mississippi, but in the Memphis metropolitan area, and that's been a good facility for us as well. So four located primarily in the Jackson, Mississippi area, and then we have another one about 2.5 hours north in the Memphis metro market.
Now, are these, we're going to have to go to a break here in a second, but I want to talk about this when we get back. Are you building these organically, or are you bolting these on through acquisition?
So one acquisition down in Mendenhall, and then 2 years ago, we opened a sizable facility and we greenfielded it.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, I think that'd be cool to learn how like, a concrete plant, you know, what goes into constructing that. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, I think that's good. And, you know, relative to us, Patrick said it. We had a new hire breakfast this morning, and Patrick was telling our story and said, in 2017-18, we bought a W.H. Hobbs Plumbing, and then shortly thereafter, we started a mechanical service business. So kind of very similar to that,
we
right?
We got some gray hair.
We bought one, and then you get the good and the bad with that, and then we greenfielded
one.
That's
right.
But not the infrastructure that y'all would need. Jason McNeil, Canton Concrete, when we return. What a fun show. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of segments, we were with Jason McNeil from Canton Concrete out of Jackson, Mississippi. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or anywhere you can find podcasts. Of course, we're on WBT 1110 99.3.
Way to go, Patrick. You got it down pat. Down pat.
Down pat. Dang.
Wow, you're your nickname from Christian.
Yeah, that's right. She calls me Pat.
Man. No, I did. I reiterated to our new hires this morning, so I'm testing you guys and ladies. It was great to see the room full with smiling faces, but I said, please listen to this show on podcast when you're driving to the job.
Yep.
And you'll learn a little bit about who Patrick and I are and cut up, and then also learn who our network is and our business buddies and all that we like to promote. So we have Jason McNeil on the show, Canton Concrete, and he's talking about bought this business succession plan from the owners, 1953 founded. I think he said six, seven years ago, and has added two locations, gone from three to five. I think I got that right. Right, Jason?
That's correct. And one greenfield and one acquisition.
Yeah, we were kind of – Trent alluded to that. We went through something similar in 17. We acquired a plumbing company, and then we organically or greenfielded a HVAC business. Did you kind of do the same thing? Were these done or in – at the same time or one after the other kind of thing?
You know, it's interesting. I think sometimes in business, things come in waves. And the acquisition in Mendenhall, Mississippi, really presented itself. Gotten to know the owner of that facility who had two and was looking to exit out of one, and had just really had discussions with him, and that kind of popped up a little faster than we were anticipating. And then also so that was an acquisition that was not quite out of the blue, but came about a little faster than we were anticipating. And then Memphis was really a strategic growth initiative. Memphis is just such a larger metropolitan market by volume of concrete and building than the Jackson market. 269 is a new four-lane bypass around Memphis that connects I-55 to I-40, and it's about 40 miles with multiple interchanges, and at the time we were looking at it, it was so new, it did not have a single gas station along the 40-mile new stretch. And so we knew that was the induction of 269 was going to be a major economic development pull to the kind of southeast of Memphis, along with just DeSoto County up there has historically been the fastest growing county in the state of Mississippi. As we were looking at that, in September of 21, Ford announced a $6 billion Blue Oval plant on I-40 just north of Memphis. And then in October of 21, there was some industry consolidation, different mergers and acquisitions that took the number of competitors down. And after those two announcements, in addition to the economic growth that we were seeing up there, it just made a lot of sense to try to plant our flag in a larger metropolitan market.
That was a awesome timing.
Perfect timing, yeah.
Pieces falling into place. Did you have to hire a consultant to know how to put this concrete plant together, or is that something you had internally? It seems overwhelming.
Good question. I think our manager would up there would say a consultant would have been nice, but we did that with our managers and our team, and looking and saying what we liked about best here and what we liked about best at all our locations and riding around and just talking. Of course, the plant came, and we hired the company that manufactured the plant to assemble it, and that made it a lot easier. But we poured the concrete internally and did all the site work, and actually I pulled the building permit with my general contractor's license. So we did a lot of it in-house as much as possible, and then the assembly of the plant itself was erected by the manufacturer. And there's some things, you know, we wish we'd have done differently, and we'll learn if we ever do greenfield another site on how to do those, just like I'm sure in y'all's company you've learned different things.
We've learned a little bit, haven't we, Patrick?
I would say did some learning this morning, as you well know. I mean, it almost, to me, it sounds like very similar to the brewery business. You know, like we've built some breweries in our day, and typically, you know, we'll come through and do all the construction, the general contracting, everything other than the actual brew equipment itself, and that's usually outsourced or subcontracted directly from the owner, and it's typically a very specialized company that would put that together. It sounds similar. I mean, you're mixing one product, they're mixing another, but it's the same. Seems like the construction is comparable.
If you didn't catch us, so Ben Buffington, High Speed Industrial Service, called us in from Memphis. It was cold that day. He said he had some Memphis toboggans, but he's in the industrial crane business. So he puts crane, you know, works on cranes and industrial warehousing, which is similar to your. What you're talking about, the growth of Memphis and what's going on with the Ford plant and stuff like that.
Ben's a smart guy. And in January, the with the freeze, probably when he called in, schools were shut down for a week and a half just because of the freeze and the ice on the roads during that time, which was January was a really slow month.
And he's from Mississippi, right?
He is. He's from Bay Springs.
I remember that. Goodness gracious. Well, okay, so we – growing up in the custom residential business, doing a lot of remodeling, doing additions and stuff and building some new houses, I was always a laborer, you know, for my 14 yeah. to 20. Said that this morning. I poured a lot of concrete, Jason, and I finished some flat work concrete. That's when you have a pad and you got a brush finish, or if you need it smooth, you put a machine on it after a couple hours and you get a polish finish. And then I poured a lot of footers and stuff. So how I do know this, it was always delivered with a big old humongous concrete truck. What's y'all's fleet? It just seems enormous, or, you know, very heavy in that arena.
Yeah, we have a healthy fleet, and everybody always asks me how many trucks you're running. And I like to joke and say, well, it's not about how many trucks you have, especially after COVID. It's about how many drivers do you have? And that's probably a better deal. But we have a healthy fleet. And I tell you, there's a lot of times on job sites where we put them in a bind. And I like to joke with our team. I say, sometimes it's just better if I wasn't out here. I get so nervous that we've got it on a little different elevation.
Amen.
Or a tilt. And I just like to walk away. It's always nice when there's a concrete pump out there and the trucks get to sit on nice asphalt road or concrete pavement and pump, not have to drive around and tailgate the slab.
Do y'all own pumps in your business?
Some people do. In Mississippi, primarily, we do not. And that's really a strategic reason for a lot of reasons that have to go in real depth, probably not today on, but today we do not. There's ample availability in Mississippi on those.
Well, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, they didn't have concrete pumps, or they weren't used on residential jobs. They might have been used for towers and stuff. So we all, if we needed to get it around a house or in a tight spot, you know, it was the Bobcat bucket.
Yeah.
Or sheetrock buckets.
Or Georgia buggy.
Yeah, yeah, or pushed a lot of wheelbarrows. I pushed a lot of concrete wheelbarrows. So do you like the smell of concrete?
You know, I like the smell of concrete. I like the guys. The whole heavy industry from construction, any type of it, it's a neat camaraderie of just individuals who are in it, and I really enjoy all those we work around, no matter what type of heavy industry they're in.
Now, you hold on real quick. You call a wheelbarrow something I've never heard, a Georgia buggy?
Georgia buggy is really on tracks, and it's a little, it'll hold about a yard of concrete, and it'll dump.
I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
It's just a little better than a wheelbarrow.
It's a Georgia buggy, Georgia Patrick. Buggy. All right. Come on, man. Get with the program. I knew what he talked about because I then said wheelbarrow. Goodness gracious. I know this. A wheelbarrow full of concrete is real heavy. One time when I was a teenager, my best buddy worked with me during the summer.
There it is.
And our superintendent was down there. We were doing a wheelchair walkway, you know, handicap walkway. So it zigzagged about six times at my grandfather's church. And I had a bunch of rebar, and we were dumping it like 30 feet, and he let go of the wheelbarrow, and the wheelbarrow came tumbling down. Did not hit our superintendent, but you talking about mad? You talking about some teenagers learning some cuss words? It was crazy. It would make you
somebody think, had to clean it up, too.
You know, make you think how dangerous it is. We're going to cut the commercial. Stick around with us, and we'll have some more conversation. At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last few seconds segments, check them out. We got Jason McNeil from Canton Concrete in Jackson, Mississippi.
I mean, I got to say, I think it's the first concrete fellow we've had on the show. Out of all the years of doing the show, I got a question for you, Jason. You took construction management in college. Why did you take construction management? Did you have a job when you were in high school? Your parent, your dad in the construction industry, or what's going on?
So, when I was growing up in the early 90s, Mississippi had just passed, not long before, the 1987 highway bill, and Mississippi was massively four-laning everywhere you could go. And so when I'd travel with my family on the weekends, you'd always see almost a quarter mile of scrapers and John Deere equipment doing massive dirt work everywhere in Mississippi. And I just fell in love with seeing all the heavy yellow iron, as we call it, and just decided I really wanted to be in the heavy industry, and originally thought I wanted to be a dirt contractor, and realized in college dirt contractors are the first ones to go broke. And so really learned and just based on marketing and selling, really like the asphalt and the ready mix side of things.
Man, I'll tell you, there is, and we have had an asphalt person on here, Britt. We have had asphalt, no concrete. But there is something about that heavy machinery, isn't there? I was out at a job site yesterday in Belmont that we're doing a huge residential development, and it takes you back to being a little kid in the sandbox. I mean, there's just activity going everywhere. And the speed of how quickly, because the machines are so big, they can move the dirt. It's just really cool. I don't know. I see how you got attracted to that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you all, too, you know, the price of ready mix has just skyrocketed since COVID, and the ready mix companies have really felt it more than probably, at least in Mississippi, we've been able to pass on, just with the aggregates and cement and flash and admixture and the price of labor and equipment just going up. It's been a little difficult to continue to maintain that margin, along with some similar things y'all are probably seeing in the building industry.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, did the price of concrete as a material skyrocket, and has it come down, or what happened through COVID with the price?
Yeah, it, you know, last year and the year before, we received two price increases. Generally, we receive one on aggregate, one on cement, one on our cost of goods. And the last 2 years before, we received two, and it was really hard to pass that on, especially when you have contracts locked in or job quotes locked in. We're starting to see some margin improvement now, and it's going to take a couple of years to kind of get back to where we were pre-COVID. But it, I'm embarrassed sometimes to what we quote a yard of concrete for. You know, a lot of people still remember it being $100, $120 a yard. And in some cases, depending on the mix and the design, we're pushing $200 a yard. And it's a little embarrassing, but then you go to the grocery store and realize you're not along in that inflation. The good news is we are seeing the inflation of our cost of goods slow drastically. But it's certainly not coming down, but it is slowing, and we're able to start recouping some of that margin. So I'm a little apologetic for where the price of concrete is, but I think a lot of people just don't realize how significant from equipment and labor and our cost of goods, it has just skyrocketed since COVID. One lady in our office has been doing this since 1979, and she's never seen two price increases a year except during COVID.
I wonder what a yard of concrete cost when she first started compared to where it is now.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
How many variations, like PSI? I mean, when I was doing this 20 years ago and in the game, 3,000, 4,000 PSI, 4,000 was the better, sturdier concrete, I guess you would mix. And you're right, it was 80 to... I think in 3 or 4, during that spike, it went up to $130, $140 a yard, but it came back down pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of variations in PSI, from flowable fill, that some of the flowable fill just needs to break at 500, all the way up to, of course, your 3 and 4. And then, you know, we do some 5,000 and 5,000 high early on some parking punch outs where somebody needs to get that space back open in 24 to 48 hours.
Oh, so
there,
wow.
There is a lot of variations in the PSI and the design. And it's fun with computers and different technology now. You can kind of customize everybody into, you know, whatever they need to fit their needs. And a lot of our people, 3,000 is the common PSI for residential and everyday concrete around here. And sometimes people call in for 3,500 or 4,000. And I try to tell them, for our company, we run a 1,200 PSI safety factor. So if in a lab, if we're breaking 3,000, we want it to easily hit 4,200. And a lot of times we're really shooting on residential to be above 2,000 in 7 days. And if you're going to get 2,000 in 7 days, because we do a lot of post-tension cable, then you should easily get way above 3,000 in 28.
Man, that is interesting. Well, cool. Well, Jason, leave us with one thing. What's one thing you carry your flag of life and your family and your business and how you treat your people? I love how you talk about your team and your people. What's one thing you live by?
You know, if we're only picking one thing, Trent, I really got to say that the Bible would be it, and how we kind of view our core values, not only in family and church, but also in how we treat our team and our talent that works for us, and just – I would have to say it would be the Bible, just top to bottom on how we treat everybody.
Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the golden rule. Jason, Godspeed to your business. Thank you for being here. What a wonderful ending to a Easter Sunday aired show. Thanks for being here, Jason. I'll see you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Trent.
All right. Jason McNeil, Kenton Concrete, thanks for listening.